If your husband is sealing the tub with toothpaste, then you've come to the right place. It's Arizona's number one home improvement resource, the Rosie on the House Show.
And welcome back to Rosie on the House. Glad you're tuned in. We'll make it worth your while talking anything having to do with your house, home, castle, or cabin. We have Dave calling from Phoenix with decking questions. Several other phones are ringing. Jennifer's in there as busy as she can be, juggling the incoming phone lines. And today, you know, now that generally speaking, we're a four-hour show. 7 o'clock, we have a lot of fun just talking about what's going on around Arizona. 8 o'clock, we always talk about what's going on in your garden, your outdoor landscaping, your trees, whatever it is outside your house. 9 o'clock, we just kind of throw it as an open line. We want you to ask any question you have about your house, home, castle, or cabin. Then at 10 o'clock, we pick one topic, and we go down and we dive deep.
Home improvement topic.
Drill deep on the one home improvement topic. It coincides with the article that we publish in the Arizona Republic newspaper every single Saturday morning. And we're going to be talking about water in the 10 o'clock hours with our friends Robin and Andy Pettijohn of Water Treatment Technologies. And we're going to blow a lot of the myths clean out of the water when it comes to water treatment. There is hardly an industry on the planet that's filled with more misinformation and bad information, misleading information, and scare tactics than the water treatment industry. So we're going to clear all that up at 10 o'clock. But right now, we're going to continue taking your questions. Let's see if we can get to Dave here real quick. And then I want to introduce a special guest we're going to bring into the show. We always talk about Arizona staycations and the fact that we like to encourage y'all, take care of your homes in a way that you can go enjoy the state, get outside and enjoy this great state we live in. And a national park here in Arizona has just recently reopened. And we're going to be talking to someone from Oregon Pipe National Park, talking about encouraging you to get down to that corner of the state here in just a minute. But right now, let's talk to Dave, calling from Phoenix. Good morning, Dave. How can we help you around the house today, my friend?
Hey, Rosie, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, you bet, bud.
I'm in the process of rebuilding a home that was in a tragic fire, but I've got a question on the decking, because it's the upper deck that is above two of the lower bedrooms, and it's an outside deck that we've chosen to go with, like, the Duralast vinyl coating.
Okay.
The problem is the contractor failed to protect this plywood up here from the elements. And so we've had the recent rains and the sun. And my question is that this plywood appears that it is splintering and warping. And now they say the solution is, well, we'll sand it and then seal it and then put the decking down. What would be your advice on that?
Well, Dave, you can feel free to send me a picture at info@rosieonthehouse.com. How long has this plywood been exposed to the elements?
Probably right now for about 60 to 90 days.
Okay. And I have to believe that it's exterior rated plywood, CDX.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you that he's probably fine. I'm going to tell you that, you know, CDX exposed to the elements for 60 to 90 days isn't going to deteriorate to the point it's going to cause you any future problems. If it has, in fact, started to splinter, we're going to want to take up some of those splinters or sand down some of the raised grain. But that CDX is just going to be fine. You don't have a thing to worry about.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and that gives me a lot of comfort today. So thanks, Rosie, for your advice.
Okay, man. Good luck on the remodel. Sounds like an exciting project. Those walkout areas above living areas always pose a whole different set of challenges all by themselves in the first place, getting the water off that area before you let it come into the house, but leaving it out there where it's pretty enough to enjoy. All right, with that said, let's bring in our guest of the hour, Sue Walter. We're reaching her at her home in beautiful Ajo, Arizona. Sue, good morning.
Good morning.
And I have to tell you, I am an extensive traveler of Arizona. I have traveled southern Arizona to a great extent. But I have to tell you, I've never really traveled Oregon Pipe National Park.
Well, now's the time to come. Right now, some of the flowers are blooming. We don't have a really great flower year, but there are some out. The globe mallow and the brittle bush are really popping, and the ocotillo are blooming. So it does give a lot of color to the desert here.
All right. And, you know, that some would say that's a remote corner of the state.
It is a little bit. So you have to want to come here to get here. It's not on the way to anything unless you're going to Rocky Point, and then you're driving through the park. So all those listeners that have been to Rocky Point, you've already been to Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument. So come back and actually come into the visitor center and see us, because there is a lot to see in the park.
And y'all have been a park for how long?
Since 1937.
Okay.
So it's been a while, and we've been open just since 2003. About 70% of the park was closed due to some things and some fears, and we have, you know, we've done things to mitigate those.
Okay. So it's safe to visit?
Yes. We can't guarantee everybody's safety, because when you go to the Grand Canyon, you got to worry about gravity because it can be very painful. So there's a lot of things, you know, within the park to be cautious of, especially, you know, the things that can poke, prick, stab, you know, if you're not watching where you're going. Those cactus do tend to, you know, harm you a little bit. And we've done all the mitigation and educating people on how to be safe being close to the border.
Now, a little bit of homework I did on the park itself. You know, y'all are south of the Gila River, and the Gila River kind of served as the highway and the byway for most of the Spanish explorers to get over and explore California and discover all the beautiful cities there. Y'all were really kind of off the beaten trail.
We are. You know, we've been on the beaten trail for a few things. The California Gold Rush. We were actually, the Quito Biquito Spring was one of the stopping points, so it was heavily traveled then. And that encouraged people to start businesses at Quito Biquito, such as a mercantile. And so there's always been a settlement there because of the water, but it kind of expanded a little bit and was kind of an interesting history, so people can come find out about that.
So we get to Oregon Pipe by heading south from Ajo. And we're going to find the park entrance where?
Wait. How do I get to Ajo first? For someone who's never been to that area? Well, let's get one direction at a time here.
The easiest way to get to Ajo is depending on where you're at, but we have two major interstates, 8 and 10. So if you can get to either one of those two, and at Highway 85, State Route 85, head south. If you're over in the Tucson area, it may be easier to come across 86 through the Tohono O'odham Reservation and hook up to 85 and then head south.
Now, I go to Wikipedia and I plug in Oregon Pipe National Forest, and it tells me why y'all were originally designated as a national park. It's kind of a funny story. Is there any credence to what we find there?
I have never heard that before, so I'm going to call it lore.
You're going to call it lore. Wikipedia tells you that it was created as a national park to protect the transportation, the road that was there during Prohibition. It was the best way to get booze.
A bootlegger?
Yeah.
Route. Oh, funny. Hey, that could be. So once I'm to Ajo, now where's the park entrance from there?
The park entrance, a lot of people do get confused on it because you're traveling south on a highway. You actually come to the highway about 14 miles south of Ajo, or from Ajo, about 14 miles on the highway, you're into the park. However, you don't get to the visitor center until you're about another 20 miles south. So you're driving through the park quite a distance, and then you get to the visitor center. It's in a beautiful spot. It is where two of our major auto-touring roads take off from, so that's why the visitor center is so far south instead of right at the entrance when you come in.
Lots of camping locations, I assume?
In the park, we have two locations to camp. One of them is our main Twin Peaks campground, and it's got 208 sites. The RV sites are all pull-throughs. We can hold up to 40-footers. If we get some rigs in that are a little bit bigger and we don't have anything going on in our group campsite, we'll put them in our group campsite and make them feel comfortable and welcome there.
I would guess this is about your peak season right now, isn't it?
Interesting, March used to be our busiest month. Last month in February, we were up 67% from the previous year, and it looks like that is going to be our record month for this year is February. So, you know, our northern visitors are starting to head back. They're thinking the snow is over. You know, they just need to watch the weather and see that there's still snow going on and can stay here a little bit longer if they'd like. And, you know, so it is starting to drop off now. So that's why it's a perfect time to come over if you're still in Arizona or you're an Arizona resident, because it's nice and quiet, but the weather's still perfect. The evenings are still nice and cool. And we still have some ranger activities going on, such as evening programs, guided hikes, location talks at some of our historic places. So it's still a good time, and we're going to try as hard as we can to go into April with those programs.
Much of southern Arizona is known for its bird watching potential.
We have several wonderful locations. The campground is one of them because, well, there's people there, and some people will leave water dripping and stuff, so it attracts the birds. We also have our lagoon for the sewer system not too far from the campground. You can't smell it or anything. You don't even notice it's there, but it does bring in the birds.
And other wildlife someone may see.
Other wildlife is, well, we had a visitor the other day come in very excited. And this was a big thing for us. We immediately got on the phone to our resource people. He had seen some of our elusive ghosts of the desert, which are the Sonoran pronghorn. It's a subspecies of the American pronghorn, and they're very skittish, and they were almost to the brink of extinction.
I think the Sonoran pronghorn, they're on the endangered list, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. They have been brought back from the brink, and last year, for the first time since they got put on the endangered list, I believe, we had babies born in the Valley of the Ajo.
Oh, wow.
And these people saw them right on the North Puerto Blanco Drive. So they were in their vehicle. They got out. They were able to take pictures of these elusive animals. So that was you know, still sends shivers up me because I've been here 5 years and haven't seen one.
That's awesome. I imagine you probably are going to see some bighorn sheep and some mule deer.
We have had some people, one of our volunteers was out on the same road, the North Puerto Blanco Drive, and got to see 4 bighorn sheep. And he's like, after 90 pictures, I just got tired of taking pictures of them. So they hung out for quite a while, letting him and posing for him, you know, letting him take pictures.
Now, my wife and I like to travel with our horses. We'll go to a lot of the national parks and just ride. What do y'all have anything set up for the equestrian participants?
We are getting there.
Okay.
And we have the benefit of having Border Patrol, who has a horse patrol group, and we went to them and said, you guys are out there riding all the time. Can you come and help us develop some what we call virtual trails? So they have designed about 8 trails that are now being reviewed and stuff by our people that say, you know, well, if you go up this hill, it's going to, you know, erode too much and stuff. So they're looking at that right now, and we're looking at converting one of our group sites into a horse camp, either in our group site or, you know, try to find another location for horse camp.
Well,
so if people want to come right now, just call ahead, make sure you don't have reservations for our group site, and if it's available, come on down. We can camp you out in that group site, and right now there's no trails, but we're getting there, but you are welcome to ride in the park any place.
Fantastic. Well, that's Sue Walter from the Oregon Pike National Park below Ajo, inviting you all. Sounds like a place I'm going to have to go give it a try. If you're not a camper, you can contact the Ajo Chamber of Commerce and plenty of lodging just a few miles down the road. When we get back, we'll talk more about the Arizona staycation and anything you'd like to visit about at 1-888-767-4348.